All right, welcome back to Golf Adjacent. This is the host, Cannon Claycomb. I'm here with my good friend, Stephen Campbell Jr. How are you, Stephen?
I am great. It is great to be on the podcast, Cannon. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thanks for coming on, man. Are you in Oklahoma right now?
So, actually, I was in Oklahoma for a couple of days getting some good work in with my coach, but I'm home to Houston, Texas right now.
Monty, I've heard it's been pretty hot down there. Pretty bad.
Dude, it's been nuts. I think I played the last couple of days in Oklahoma, and it was like 95 to 100, felt like 110. And then Houston is, it's like I'm living in a steam room for 4 hours. So it's terrible, but, you know, got to get through it.
Cool, yeah. All right, so for people that don't know you, you were big in junior golf. We grew up together, about the same age. We were teammates on the Junior President's Cup team in Australia. What would you like people to know about your junior golf career? And what were some things that stood out while you were in junior golf?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we were Junior President's Cup team members. And something I kind of like to let the listeners know is I wasn't, you know, a big, big time name until very late in junior golf. I mean, everyone's got their own paths, like you, Cannon. I mean, you were a big time stud from, I mean, into middle school all the way to where you are now. And, you know, I had a little, in the golfing world, you know, spotlight till probably, I would say, end of my to start my junior year, like that kind of
summer, excuse me.
Yeah, kind of that summer transitioning going in. Yeah, you know, it's been
I just said everyone's journey is completely different.
And, you know, me and you have completely separate journeys, but, you know, we're all in this together. So that's kind of to, you know, let the listeners know about. And, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. That's good insight. Because, like, we did have very different, like, journeys, I guess, through junior golf. I saw you on the back end, obviously, towards the end, but what was it like having to play, like, you know, opens and stuff like that? And then from playing opens to, like, now you're in the junior players, now you're on the Junior President's Cup team. Like, was that scary or nerve-wracking, or did you feel like you deserved to be there, which you did? How was that, like, for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone who, you know, plays this game knows that it's all about improvement and getting better each and every day. And yeah, no, it was definitely a big time grind. Like, you know, I had to work my way into the AJGA previews, and then you know, I played a couple junior all-stars, and I kind of just had to navigate and work my way, you know, throughout the junior golf ranks. And I remember I think it was the start of 2018. It was the Sean Foley AJGA, and that was kind of my first big AJGA that I ever played in. And I remember it was like 2 to 3 weeks before the tournament. I was on the alternate list. I wasn't sure if I was going to get in, and I ended up getting a phone call, and they said I was in the tournament. So I was already super pumped just to play in the event because I saw some big-time names, and I was kind of, you know, really not rethinking it, but you know, there was a lot of thoughts running through my head, like, oh, do I deserve to be here? This, and this. And I ended up playing really, really, really well. I came in the top 10, and that was kind of a big time springboard to, you know, a really solid 2018. And fast forward, I think 10 or 11 months, I ended up playing in my first Invitational, which was the Rolex Tournament of Champions. And that was another big transition as well, going from, you know, the Opens to the Invitationals, because that's a whole other beast to tackle. And it definitely took me a little bit to kind of transition and figure out, you know, how to really, you know, kind of the puzzle behind that whole thing. And there's really no secret to it. It's, you know, you're good enough to be there. And it took me a little bit of time to learn that and realize that, you know, I was good enough to compete and play against all you guys. And one of the kind of big mistakes I made was I felt like as soon as I got into those, I had to like retool my whole game, like completely start from scratch. And, you know, get to this, in my mind, this elite level, but in reality, I was kind of already there. And I think that's the big key for like anyone going from, you know, regular junior tournaments to, you know, invitationals, and, you know, even in the amateur ranks, going from, you know, lower end amateur tournaments to, you know, the elite amateur series events. And then it's going to continue on all throughout your pro career, and you don't need to retool anything. That was kind of the biggest lesson I learned throughout that whole entire process is, you know, stick with what you got, because that's what got you here, and you don't need to reinvent the wheel just because you're playing on a bigger stage. I mean, the hole's the same size. The courses may be a little bit different, a little bit more difficult, but, I mean, just you got to remember that you belong on that stage.
Yeah, no, I think that's super relatable because, like, I mean, for most guys, right, like, that's the pathway to get to, you know, really elite college golf is, like, you start in the junior invitationals. Like, I remember mine was the one at Chateau Elan. I finished second, and then, like, then you get into, like, higher opens, you know, and, like, they're 100 points, and you play well in a couple of those, and then, like, you're in invitationals, and it opens up a whole new world, right?
It does. It is it's definitely, you know, one good week, like everyone says, can change your life, so.
Yeah, it's really interesting. What, like, I know you played on did you play on one or two Wyndham Cups?
I played on one. I was supposed to play on two, but then COVID kind of happened, and, yeah.
Cool, yeah. So, like I said earlier a couple of times, like, Junior President's Cup, Wyndham Cup, you played all the invitationals. Was there, like, a junior golf event that was your favorite or stood out the most? Like, could be Sage, anything. What did you think?
I would probably have to say it's hard to narrow it down to one. I would definitely say my top three were – either Wyndham Cup, Junior President's Cup, or Sage, just because, you know, growing up, I always wanted to play in those events, and to, like, finally get there, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm absolutely living the dream. And Sage was, like, super interesting, because that year was the start of COVID, and I remember after we played the first day, it was after the first day, I wake up the next morning, I think it was the tournament director, walks in my room and says, hey, you got about 50 minutes to warm up and tee off, because apparently we're in, like, a worldwide pandemic, and we were actually the only sporting event that was playing, and, like, I think it was the nation. It might have been the world, but I'm pretty sure it was the nation. And it was kind of crazy, you know, that whole experience. That was definitely a really unique experience, but I don't know. I love the Junior President's Cup. It was great, you know, being with you and all the other guys out there and going to Australia. I mean, that's something I'll never, ever forget. And being inside the ropes of the actual President's Cup, getting to meet Tiger and all the other guys who, you know, I idolize growing up and even now. I don't know. It's hard to pick one, but if I did have to pick one, I definitely have to say Junior President's Cup, just because of everything that we kind of got to do, especially going to Australia. I mean, that's something I'm never going to forget.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. So one of the main reasons I wanted to talk to you is you're at Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma. I played with you at the regional at Oklahoma.
Yes.
And I've known you for a while, but I didn't realize that you had such family connections. So you were born in Norman. That's correct.
I was, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that. Like, tell everybody about that, because I found that to be really, really interesting.
Yeah, so my mom was a former college basketball player at the University of Oklahoma. My dad got his engineering degree at the University of Oklahoma, and they met in college. I think they met when my mom was a fifth-year senior, and my dad was coming back to school for the second time. So he was, like, in his late 20s, early 30s. You know, finishing up his engineering degree, and that's where they met, and they've kind of moved all across the place with, you know, my dad's oil and gas stuff, but they had me in Norman, Oklahoma, Norman Regional Hospital, and yeah, no, it's my whole dad's side's from, like, the Oklahoma City area, and so I got a lot of ties there, and it was really, really cool to, you know, when I finally committed to the University of Oklahoma, how it kind of came full circle, just because my mom was a student athlete there. Now I was going to be a student athlete there, and the connections that she has through her radio show and all the people she's met in the sports world, I've kind of gotten to meet at the university. And it's been really, really cool to kind of follow in my mom's footsteps at the University of Oklahoma. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, so that was going to be kind of my next question was, when you're on campus, you're walking around, like, we see all the other sports teams all the time, right? Like, we all kind of do the same thing. Are there, like, coaches or, like, ADs or anybody at OU who's like, oh, you're, you know, Steven, like, your family here? Like, how does that work? And, like, how have those connections from your mom and your dad, like, benefited you or, like, anything along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, I would say a lot of the connections more have to go on my mom's side just because she was really, really heavily involved with the university, not just being there, but, you know, she did some, you know, sideline reporting for the Oklahoma Sooners for a little bit. And she's got really, really big time ties. Like one of our former trainer was my mom's trainer at the university. So I'll run into him at the golf course from time to time and we'll catch up there. Joe Castiglione was, you know, the AD when my mom was there. So she introduced him to me and we kind of hit it off.
See him. He's super, super nice,
super friendly and always willing to, you know, help out. So I've gotten to meet some really, really cool people. Those are kind of the two main people that I can think of off the top of my head that I've gotten connected through with my mom. But yeah, no, she's been a tremendous influence and I'm very thankful for her.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. So growing up, was it always OU or were you open to other places? Like, did you go take other visits or how did that work?
Asked that. I was really never a big OU fan growing up just because my mom and dad were super big OU fans and I was trying to be, you know, a rebellious kid and I was kind of sick and tired of the whole OU talk. And I lived in Fort Worth for 8 years, so I actually was a big time TCU Horned Frog fan growing up. I loved all their sports, and it really didn't work out kind of on the golf side. But, you know, I ended up taking a visit to the University of Oklahoma, and I really, before that, I wasn't really considering them that much. And as soon as I stepped on campus, met Coach Hibble and Coach Bill, I just fell in love with the place, and I felt like that was, you know, really, really the place for me. And it's kind of crazy, you know, how the Lord works and, you know, everything kind of comes full circle because I go from, you know, not really even thinking about going to the University of Oklahoma to, you know, I'm 110% into this program.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said. I think that's really well said. I was kind of the same way at Alabama, just kind of ended up working that way. All right, so we got to play with you at the regional in Norman. I believe the golf course is called Jimmy Austin. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, so we got to play with you guys there, home event for you guys. I thought the golf course was really good. I thought it was well-designed. Bunkers were placed in good spots. Green complexes were really good. It's a private golf club. Is that correct?
So it's semi-private. So you can play out there if you want to. You'll have to pay, but you can also be a member out there as well.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that's a good system. How is it like playing that golf course every day? Like, I thought it was really like hard but fair. Scores were pretty good, but we caught it on a good weather week. Like, do you guys feel like that really benefits you guys playing there, or like, you know, how do you feel about the golf course?
Yeah, I love it. I love Jimmy. It's a great track. Like you said, it's pretty challenging, but fair. I really think the first couple of times you play it, you can be a little intimidated, especially off the tee, just because there is some spots like hole number one. I mean, we caught it when it was a north wind, so it was straight down. But, I mean, we usually play that thing when it's a south wind and it's blowing about 15 to 20 miles an hour back in our face. So it's really, really a demanding first tee shot. But yeah, again, like you said, it is challenging, but it's fair. But kind of the more we play it, we've gotten so used to it that, you know, we have just such a big time comfort out there. But the course is all weather dependent. Like you said, we caught it on a really, really good week. So scores were a little bit lower. The Korn Ferry Tour event caught it, honestly on a really, really good week. The rough was up, the greens were fast, but you know, those guys are so good. They're not really hitting it in there, especially if, you know, there's some rain and no wind, they're not going to be really in trouble a lot. So it's kind of explains why the scores were so low. But yeah, I know it's a great course. It prepares us super, super well, just because you gotta be sharp off the tee. You really can't just slap it around there and expect it to go do something good, especially if the rough's up and they've got that course in prime time shape. And it's also weather dependent. It changes so much. Like when we get on campus in the fall, scores are a lot lower for us just because everything's in, you know, perfect shape, conditions are benign. But when it's in the winter time or in the springtime, when it's blowing or the conditions are really, really brutal, you see a lot higher scores. That course can play so many different ways because it's always blowing out in Oklahoma. And, you know, whichever way the wind's coming from, it's going to give you a new test every single day.
Yeah, man, I could totally see that. I think during the winter, especially, I could see that place just being really, really hard.
Yeah, because, I mean, everything's dormant. You've got some really, really funky lies around the greens just because, you know, the Bermuda's dead and, you know, it's not growing. So you're going to have some really, really tough lies. So, it really honestly depends on the weather, how easy or hard it's going to play.
Yeah. So another thing I kind of realized when I was playing in the regional there with you guys was you guys had a really good home crowd. A lot of people came out to watch. It was like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which isn't ideal for people coming out to watch. A lot of people have jobs. But there were a lot of people there. And, like, I guess my question is, like, is OU a big golf school? Like, do people get behind the golf team? Like, drawing from my own experience at Bama, we have very good, like, golf fan base. And I think it makes it more fun to play for that team, you know. So how is it at OU, and, like, do you guys, you know, feel that when you're playing at tournaments?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say OU's just a golf school. I mean, we're an all-around sports school. I mean, we have some of the most passionate fans in the entire country, if not the most passionate. I mean, around any single sporting event, like you go to a football game, we could be playing the 7-year-old Pee Wee junior team, and it's going to be a 90,000 sold out game. And you can go to a softball game, it's always sold out. I mean, we've got some really, really passionate fans. And, you know, one thing we love about our golf program is, you know, our alumni and all the people who just get around us and support us, and they're always there to cheer us on. So getting to host a regional out there was just awesome, and playing in front of the home fans. I mean, we, like you said, we had so many people out there, and I think it just makes it that much better when you're playing, you know, in front of your home crowd, and you've got a ton of people out there just either cheering your name or, I mean, wanting it as bad as we do. It just makes the experience so much better for us.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with everything you said. And, like, it was, like, noticeable. There were a lot of people out there, and I thought that was really cool. You talked about the softball team. Do you go to any of the softball games?
I've been to a couple. We actually went out there to get honored for winning the Big 12 championship, and we actually got to go onto the softball field, meet Patty Gasso, and hang out with all the softball players for their game. So that was really, really fun, and they're some of the most down-to-earth, great people you'll ever meet. They are a fantastic, you know, people group to be around, and you can see it through the coaching staff. I mean, Patty Gasso is arguably the best softball coach to ever live, and you know, you can see why. Just the people she recruits, they're not only just great softball players, but they're great human beings, and you know, that's really what matters.
Yeah, dude, so I got like really into softball this year, kind of like what you were saying with your fan base, but like Alabama is a huge softball school in my opinion. Like I think it goes football, basketball, maybe football, softball, basketball. And then yeah, other sports, like people love softball, and I got the bug. I actually went to two of the regional games that they hosted. I fell in love with it. They hit a home run like every fourth pitch. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like your culture at OU, right? Like the softball culture kind of bleeds over into other sports. They want to talk about football a lot, and like you guys have a great football team, but like OU's won what, like 4 of the last 6 national championships in softball or something like that?
I think so. It's something crazy. I mean, we just finished winning 51 straight games in a row, which is, I mean, yeah, shattered the old record. It's criminal. It really is.
Yeah, federal, some would say. yeah, that's crazy, dude. 51 straight games is insane. So what's Norman look like on a Saturday afternoon in the fall? Like, what a game day weekends look like at OU?
Game day weekends are, I mean, they're intense. I mean, a lot of the roads are blocked off to the football stadium, and you've got fans tailgating out there from, I mean, it could be an 11 o'clock game, and they'll be out there at 6 or 7 in the morning just setting up, getting ready. I mean, there is tailgates all across the campus. It's unbelievable. And if we got a night game, I think those are some of the best games because you get to, you know, get your stuff done in the morning, and then, you know, as dusk rolls in, I don't know, just the energy and the atmosphere around a night football game is unbelievable because everyone's just been so antsy the whole day to get this thing going, and you can just feel it in the crowd. The energy is just a little bit different, and, you know, in the fall, if it's still a little bit hot, it's nice to, you know, have a night game where we're not sweating our butt off.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, my last question about OU, then we'll talk about some other stuff. You guys are moving to the SEC in 2024.
It's 2024.
Okay. So is the OU faithful excited about this move? Like, what do you guys think? It's going to be hard. There's going to be a lot of really good teams in the SEC, including Texas and OU. How does the fan base feel about this move to the SEC?
I think we love it. I mean, I think the fans are going to get really, really behind it just because we're playing a really, really intense schedule, especially in football. I mean, playing against y'all, Tennessee, Georgia, it's going to be absolutely electric. And I think it's going to be one of the best things that's ever going to happen to the university just from a recruiting standpoint. The extra money we're going to be able to bring in, I think it's going to be fantastic. I think the fans would agree as well. And a lot of the athletes, I've talked to some of them, and they're super, super excited. Just, you know, the better competition, some more TV deals, the recruiting piece of it. I think it's just going to be overall a great thing for the university. I think a lot of fans can agree on that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's going to be really, really good. All right, so I said last question about OU. This is kind of like OU adjacent, but you guys have, like, I want to say 8 guys on KFT right now, at least 8 guys that I know of, Corn Ferry Tour. Some of those guys, like, you played with, like probably Chris Goddard and maybe Quaid, but for sure Patrick Welch. What is it like being on campus, like, with those guys? Like, are they doing anything different, or are they just, like, really, really talented, or like what do you see out of their games, and like how has that been for you to be able to practice alongside those guys?
I mean, for the longest time, I really, really thought that, you know, the tour guys are just unbelievably better than the college players. Like, they just figure something out and bam, they're just instantly better. But now being around like all those guys, I actually, my first year, thankfully, I got to, you know, play and practice with Quaid, Garrett Rebans, all those seniors. And, you know, to see what they do differently and help me, you know, get better when I came in was absolutely fantastic. And then getting to play alongside Chris Goddard and Logan McAllister last year, or 2 years ago now, was, I mean, it was awesome. Because they figured out the way to get the ball in the hole their own way. I mean, Chris is just a big-time bomber of the golf ball, and he's got great hands and, you know, touch around the greens. So it was really cool to see him navigate versus, you know, how Logan navigates, because they're both, you know, first-team All-American players. And, you know, their transition to the Corn Ferry Tour, you know, there's been some ups and downs kind of with every single one of our guys, but it's really, really cool to see them have their great weeks and see them navigate on their own different journey. And then, you know, Patrick Welch just graduated. I'm going to miss Pat. I'm going to miss Pat a lot next year. But, you know, it's kind of crazy to think about. But, you know, they're not really doing that much different. I mean, they're still the same people. Yeah, their games are obviously getting better. But, I mean, I was talking to Logan a while back, and I was asking him, like, you know, have you or Chris – really changed a whole lot going on tour? And he's like, no, not really. I mean, we've kind of just kept doing the exact same thing. We just, you know, really have to make sure that we're really staying consistent because, you know, the talent's better. Every single person out there can go win that event. compared to college, where probably only 40 to 50% of the field can go win an event. So, yeah, I mean, nothing really has changed. They're just, you know, just big time players, and it was awesome to kind of play and practice underneath them.
Yeah, no, I've loved keeping up with them. It's cool seeing guys like, you know, make it. So congrats to those guys, and that's awesome.
Definitely.
You said you're from the Houston area. A lot of, I feel like, talented golfers, especially our age, like, have been from Houston recently. Is there just something different down there about what's going on, or like how was that, I guess, growing up playing around all those guys, and like what's different about the Houston area to everywhere else in the country, I guess, that's producing all these great golfers?
Well, I don't know if it's it helps that it's always scorching hot in the summertime. But I think maybe the one big difference is we get to play golf all year round. That always is a big plus. I mean, in the wintertime, it's never below like 45 degrees unless something crazy's happening. So I don't know. I wouldn't say anything crazy different's happening down there. I would say one of the big things that's, you know, a nice positive is getting to play, you know, 365 days a year pretty much. But, yeah, I mean, Houston's had some great talent. You know, Travis Vick, Cole Hammer, William Mall, Matthew Rydell. You know, all those guys have really, you know, played some great golf. And it's really cool to, you know, represent Houston, you know, on the amateur circuit and then, you know, continuing on professionally.
Yeah. My follow-up, I guess, would be, like, Texas has great pride in who they are. Like, people from Texas take good pride in being from Texas. Is there, like, another level to that? Like, being from Houston, are people, like, very loyal to Houston? Or, like, how do you feel about that?
I don't really know. It just kind of depends. Like, I mean, you'll have a lot of different guys who are, you know, from Dallas or San Antonio or Austin that are super loyal to their city. I think it just kind of, you know, varies and depends from person to person. I mean, I love Houston, but I'm not like a crazy, crazy loyalist to the city. But yeah, no, I love Houston. It's been a great home for a long time. But I would say overall, like the state of Texas, saying you're from Texas, I would say that is more of a loyalist thing than, you know, saying being from the city of Houston or being from, you know, the city of Dallas or something like that. Because I'm super proud to be a Texan. I love it. It's awesome. It's, in my opinion, the best state there is.
Yeah. No, I think it's up there for sure. So what do you have left on the summer schedule? I know you played Susquehanna, Northeast. Didn't play North South this week, correct?
Correct, yeah. Did not play North South.
Okay, yeah. So what do you have coming up for the rest of the summer? Maybe people want to follow along or whatever you have.
Yeah, so I've got the Trans Miss in Dallas, Texas at Brook Hollow. They just renovated that place, so really, really eager to get out there. It's, I think, July 10th or 14th. And then I've got about a week off before I head out to the Southern Am, which is at the Honors Course in Tennessee. So I got a lot of family from the Tennessee area, so that'll be really, really fun to play, you know, watch them, have them watch me play. I think the dates on that are July 19th or 22nd. And then I think 2 days after, I've got a USAM qualifier back home in Houston. It's a course I played a lot of high school golf on, so looking forward to qualifying there. And then I got the Western Am, which is, I think it starts like July 30th or 31st. It goes all the way to like August 5th or 6th. And then got that. And then hopefully if I make the Am, then the US Am at Cherry Hills.
Absolutely, bro. Yeah, that's going to be – that's a good schedule. That's a very good schedule.
It is. Yeah, I'm super pumped.
Yeah, you should be, man. What so, like, what's your goal – post-college? You're a redshirt junior, I want to say?
I am, yeah. So I've got 2 more years left.
2 more years. Okay, so you won't be in PGA Tour U this year, I wouldn't imagine.
Correct.
What is kind of your plan, like, the next 2 years and then going forward after that?
Yeah, I mean, the plan is just continue to keep my head down, keep working as hard as I possibly can to play professional golf, because I mean, that's my ultimate goal and dream. I think it is for, you know, every person playing golf. But, you know, I've dreamed of that as a kid. And, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to play pro golf. So, you know, just continuing to get better each and every day. And, you know, I got some big time goals coming up for this season. Next.
You know, letting that continue to transition to the professional circuit.
Yeah. I always like to ask people, like, when they do turn pro, if they have a place they, like, want to move to or have a plan to move to. Would that be Houston for you or Dallas, or do you have an idea where you want to go?
Yeah, so it's probably not going to be Houston for me. I'm considering either the Fort Worth area or going up to Edmonds out of Oak Tree National. I don't know. It's going to kind of depend on, you know, I got 2 more years to decide that, so I got a lot of time. Yeah. But Oak Tree's great in Edmond just because I got a lot of, you know, our former alumni's out there, so we can, you know, play, pick each other's brains. And then Fort Worth, I love that area so, so much. And I was thinking about joining at my old home course, Mira Vista, and it's got some great people out there and got some good connections out there. So I don't know. It's honestly, I've kind of narrowed it down to those two places, but yeah, we'll see what happens in the next couple of years.
Awesome, man. Well, I don't really have anything else to ask. I appreciate you. You've had a great year. Proud of you. It's great to see you at all these tournaments, and I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Cannon. I really appreciate this, and look forward to seeing you soon.